So next up we have Stefan Kania. You know, sometimes you say he's wrote the book on the subject. In his case, he's really wrote a book on the subject, which you can see. There's a review copy lying in the desk in front here. Yesterday someone took the review copy, but thankfully gave it back after we mentioned that those were not to be taken away. Probably our fault putting them right next to the giveaways, but all right. Okay, so I'll sit down as well and shut up, and then you can start.
Okay. Is this working?
Yes.
Yes, okay. Yeah, hello everybody. Let's introduce myself a little bit first. My name is Stefan Kania, and I'm here for the talk for today. I did the tutorial the day before yesterday about the trusts. And today I would like to talk a little bit about GlusterFS. So nothing with Samba. Is it bad? And I'm also doing a demo here, setting up a Gluster volume and managing the Gluster volume. So a little bit about me. I started with Linux in, I don't know, 1993, and had my first contact with Samba end of the 1990s with Samba 2 and OpenLLAP, and continued to work with Samba up to now. And then in 2013, I wrote the first book to Samba 4, and this year I finished for the Samba XP, the second edition, and now there's a place for a few commercials. I'm still looking for someone who's maybe capable of translating the book into English, and also like to publish the book in English with me together. So I have all the right for the English book, so if someone is interested, please talk to me, and maybe we can get something running there with an English book. But now starts with GlusterFS. How did I get GlusterFS? I have many customers. I'm doing consulting and training, and I have many customers. This comes from universities, and they all change from Microsoft to Samba because they have to pay the full license fee now, and then they want to also have failover cluster, and what they want to have, they don't want to buy anything. Like universities, they normally don't have any money. They want to have a full open source solution. So I took Gluster together with CTDB for file servers for several universities. And that's why I thought I'd do a talk a little bit about Gluster. We heard a lot about CTDB. So I go a little bit deeper and do just the Gluster stuff, because Kai did already a lot with CTDB, so let's see what Gluster can do. First, let's start why all my customers want to use clusters. Normally, they go to the boss and say, hey, we need a cluster because we want to eliminate a single point of failure, and we want to have a failover if we lose one of our systems, and have load balancing. But what they really have in mind is maintenance during normal working hours. So most of the time, these administrators are not pure system administrators. They have so many other things to do. So they don't want to maintain their file servers on the weekend or during the night. They want to maintain their servers during normal operating hours. So they said, now let's put all the file server stuff on a CTDB cluster so we can shut down one machine, maintain the machine, bring it up during normal working hours. So this is most reason to building up a cluster. And then we start with Gluster. I started with GlusterFS. First, I did this also with DRBD and Pacemaker and CoreSync. And then I said, now I need something more robust and more trivial to set up. And then I took a look at Gluster because Michael Adams told me, hey, take a look at Gluster. It works fine and it's easy. And then I took a look at the web page of Gluster, and it says you have different tutorials. You have a short one, a medium one, and a long one. I said I would first want to have it to bring to run. I take the short one, and I saw there was just 5 lines or 10 lines of commands, and it should be working. It can't be. No, it's not possible. I tried it, and yes, it did. So let's see what Gluster can bring you. You can merge the space from many nodes to one volume, so you have one volume with one namespace, which you can access via NFS, because Gluster brings its own NFS server, or even here, like Kai did with CTDB. You can mount it via fuse mount over the network, but you can also mount it directly without using fuse mount, but fuse mount works with CTB real good, and it's expandable during normal operation, so you don't have to shut down the volume to expand it. This is what I want to show in the demo. I will create a volume with 2 sub-volumes and then take 2 nodes out of the sub-volume, replace 2 nodes and expand the volume with another new sub-volume. So that's what I want to show, the expandability from Gluster. Very important for the CTDB stuff is that it supports the POSIX ACLs. When I first started with Gluster and CTDB, I had a big problem, and it was because every time I tried to change the permission over on the share, on the Gluster volume over CTDB, it did not work. I said, operation not permitted. I didn't know, I couldn't find it out. Then, together with Michael, we were sitting at a telephone conference 2 or 3 hours together, and he said, oh, I found something. You must put a new, doing the mount option, you need another mount option, SE Linux, even if you're not using SE Linux. So I put the SE Linux mount option to FSDub, hey, and it worked. So, but with the actual version 3.6.11 or 10, they change it so you don't need it anymore. And now it's running. It's running without any problems. You have many different configuration possibilities. I will show to you in a minute. It's self-healing. So if a node goes down, I think Kai also did this. And if you store data and the node comes back up, they synchronize without any interaction. So this is the self-healing stuff, and it works, yes. And it supports file system snapshots. But this works only if you create the bricks with LBM2, and also only with Gluster version starting with 3.6, so you can use the snapshots. So we have the different configurations. You can have a replicated volume. It's more seen like as a shadow copy, like you have in a RAID shadow. You have 2 disks, two nodes that just replicate the data. You can have a distributed volume, so you can take 2 replicated or more replicated sub-volumes and bind them together to expand your volume. And you can do this during normal operation. You don't have to shut down the node. You can just add or remove a sub-volume. You can have striped volumes. Yes, you can. But if you lose, then you lose 1 node from your sub-volume. You can't access the data anymore. If you have a replicated volumes, you still can access the data. So, but it's it's faster. And what you can have a replicated distributed volume. And this is what I want to do today. In my demo, I want to create a replicated and distributed volume. What do we have to do to configure? The best thing is not to take the packages you get from your distribution, because the Gluster packages are sometimes a little bit older. You get 3.5 or so. So go to the Gluster.org page and download or install the repositories and install it over the repositories from Gluster.org. Then we have always the actual version. Install the packages, format all the file systems on your bricks, mount the file system on all nodes, create the volume, start the volume, mount the volume, use the volume, and be happy. That's all you have to do. It's really, really fast. And what you have to do with to use the snapshots, all bricks have to be configured with LVM2, thinly provisioned. It's very important. Otherwise, you can't use the snapshot function. You must have a Gluster version 3.6. And all bricks have to be on a single partition. And they must be thinly provisioned. That's very important here. Otherwise, it's not working. And now let's see how we can get the thing running. So what I did, I'm having 6 different machines here. And let's start and see which packages of Gluster I've installed here. So you see, we have 3.7, 3.7.10, 3.7.11 is the actual version. So I set up the machine a little bit earlier so that I have my talk ready when I'm here and not have to do it here in the evening. And now, the only thing I have to do now, or what I did is the host have to have a heartbeat network where they talk to each other. So I have 2 different network cards in this system. The one, would be my official network, the 56, and the 57 here is just my heartbeat network for all my nodes. So what I did, I put all the nodes on all systems into etc hosts so that I have a name resolution for the 57 network for all the nodes. It's better to use a host instead of using a DNS. If a DNS server fails, then the nodes can't talk to each other anymore. So maybe the easiest solution is to put them into etc hosts and not use a DNS server. Now, what you have to do is to put Gluster peer probe. You have to tell the Gluster which nodes you have, which nodes you want to use inside this cluster. So I'm on the wrong one. I have to go to the first one, Gluster peer probe C2. I'm starting with C2. I don't have to bring the first node into the cluster because this is done automatically. Successful, take the next one and another one. Start with 4 nodes at this page time. With Gluster peer status, you see that I see here, see the node 2, 3, and 4. If I go to the next one, Gluster peer status, I see, you can see here that you always see all the other nodes, and you see C1 is also part of my cluster node list. The next thing is, I don't want to type it, I've prepared something before. So now I create the volume. With Gluster volume create, DB0 is the volume name. I do a replica of 2. And transport TCP means that I do I bring 4 nodes up to 1 volume. And you see here that I'm talking to the C1, C2, C3, and C4 node. I already configured the bricks. That's what I did before, because I had to install an LVM and format all the disks. That's what I did before. I think everybody knows how to format a disk, so it takes some time. So I prepared this before. And let's see what happens. The volume was successfully created. And let's see. Cluster volume starter set is not started yet. Cluster volume info shows me information about my cluster volume. It says 2 times 2 bricks, named the bricks, and says status here also created. And now I can start my volume, cluster volume GB0 start, other way around, yeah, always. And let's see the info, and now you see here the volume or is started. So yeah, that's all you need. Now you have a fully working cluster volume. It's easy, I think. Huh? And let's see what we have to do next to use the volume. The next thing we have to do is to mount the volume. And for this, I created a little script just where I create the file, the folder, and then mount the volume, and then also put the information for mounting the volume into the fsstub file system table. So start the script. That's I have to do on all my nodes. So as you can see here, I mount the volume with the C1 name. You can use any name of any node you want, because the system here, when you mount the cluster volume, will just get a list of all nodes belonging to this cluster, and then connect to any of the nodes. So if, it could be possible that, for example, you start your system, and a client or you mount the volume from C1, and C1 is not up, then the list is there, and it automatically connect to one of the other nodes. So that is something you have to do on all your systems. So now we are at the point where we can check, and you see here that I'm having the device itself. It's a cluster mount point. This is a brick with 2 GB, and you see the volume is mounted with 4 GB. So I have the 2 replicated and distributed volumes here, and with double the size. And this is, you can see on all the systems. And what I can do now, I can create a directory, Samba XP. And as you can see, it's on all nodes available already. And now let's see what happens if I'm creating a few files. As you can see, you have all the files and all the nodes. Let's take a look, but only a look, what happened on the bricks itself. So what you never should do, you should never write directly to the brick. That's not a very good idea. So, but let's take a look at the cluster brick. There's this folder. And inside the folder, you see only a few files, because this is what the system cluster is doing now. It's sharing the files between all the replicated and distributed volumes. So here you have 2, 5, 6, and 8, and you will have on the second one if you do the same. On the second one, because this is a replicating partner, you see the same files. On file on 3 and 4, you see the other files. So if you lose one of the nodes, you will still have all the files available. Only if you lose a complete sub-volume, then you cannot access the files on the sub-volume. You can still access the file on the other sub-volume, but not the one where the sub-volume is gone. So this is because we did a replicated and not a striped volume at this point. If you have a striped volume at this point, you will lose all the data, because then the data, all the files are striped by blocks, and you will lose some blocks and you can't access the data anymore. So I think creating a striped volume is only a good idea if you need a lot of performance. So if you just store files, in most of the cases, when I use Gluster, we use it for the most of the time for the home directories and the rooming profiles of the Windows users. So there's no need of striping the data. So I do a replicated and distributed volume. So as you can see here, the volume is working now. And let's see what happens if I'm killing one of the nodes, shutting down node number 4. And still, this is something I'd like when I'm doing a demo, if it's not working. Normally, it should work. I did it 3 or 4 times. It's not coming back. That's bad. Let's see what happens if we restart it. So normally, it works. So it's always a point when you show something. But it's fast, so let's see. I've got the same problem as Kai had before, so it's the same with the mount option. What I did is, it's not a very good solution, but it is a solution that works. What I did, there's this RC local file, and I put a sleep and a mount minus A in an RC local file. And then I do the remount, mount minus A after reboot, and then it's the ocean in the background here. And then it's working. So let's see. I don't know why normally it works fine. So trust me at this point. You must trust me at this point. Okay, what I want to do now is I would like to replace one of the sub-volumes. So what I have to do, I have to first add the peers to the system. So I do a Gluster peer probe C5 and C6. So that's what I have, and then I'm replacing the first one. You see here, I'm replacing the C3 with the C5. I hope this will work. It depends now on the size of your brick, and the first one is replaced. Let's see what it says if I do a Gluster peer status. The node is still there. That is correct. I first have to replace, take the node out from the volume. And if you take a look at the volume, but the volume already says it's not 1234, it says 1254. So now let's see, replace the other one. So successfully, let's take a look at the node number 5, and you see all the files are also migrated from the old node to the new node. So you don't have to do anything. Normally it works. If it not worked, what you can do then is a rebalance of the volume, and then if this works, then you're finished with replacing a total sub-volume. And you see the rebalance status. That's what it did to and says rebalance success. So the next thing, what I take another look at the status of the peers, and you still see 3 and 4. But I removed 3 and 4 already from the volume. But they're still part of the volume as with a peer name. So what I now need is to detach the nodes 3 and 4. So peer status. And now I have changed the complete sub-volume without shutting down the system, without losing any information during any time of the process. So I think this is a very good thing to do. And let's see what we can do with the two other systems now. What I have to do now is to reset my two system. You mount the cluster volume, the cluster file system volume. You mount my cluster, and then format it again, so that I can use it again as another sub-volume, and mount it again, and restart, and it did not start. Like we said before, sometimes it's not working in a demo. Why not? Let's see. Does it set here? Cluster service. Loaded, failed. Is it mounted? Should normally work. Why is it not working? System CT. Restart. Now it works. Who knows? Let's reset the second one, because otherwise you can't bring it back into the reformatted, and then mount it again, and then we do it with the system control. Try it again. We need two steps. Okay. And now, because we detached the peers before, I have to bring the peers back to the system. So cluster peer probe C3 and 4. Oh, it's on localhost, I don't have to. Cluster peer probe C4. Oh, it's also, he did it already, okay. So now I'm having cluster peer status. Yes.
So now you have a separate cluster
path. Ah, yeah, it's right, yes. Thank you. That's what why I did it here and wrote, do it on node 1. So, peer touch C3. No. It's always when you're here.
Just a typo
detached. Yeah, also, let's copy it. It's always when you're staying here. Shit. And let's see, C4. C4 is not part of the cluster. Let's see if we can get it here. Just if it runs once wrong, then cluster peer probe C3. C4, so cluster peer status. So as you can see, now we have all the nodes here. And now what we have to do, we have to bring the two bricks. And now you see I do a cluster volume add brick and another replica of 2 and bring 2 new bricks into my volume. Let's see what the volume info says at this point. And you see here, I've got 6 bricks, and on the do mount minus A, mount minus A. But up to this point, there's no data on the new subvolume. All the data is still on the subvolume 1 and the subvolume 2. What we already have is, if we do an df minus h, as you can see here now, we have the big amount of 6 gigabytes for our volume, but we don't have any data in cluster fs. Oh, yes, but why did I format it? Oh, I have all the files now, yes, this is right. And now let's say to rebalance so that the files will be shared between all the sub-volumes. So this is a rebalance process, no? Successfully. So now we have expanded the volume. So this is all done during normal operation hour. Every user could still access all the files during the process of expanding the volume and during the process of taking a node out of the cluster volume. So I think we don't have any time left for the snapshot. You have any questions? If someone wants to see the snapshot function, we can do it maybe in the lunch break if you want. But there's still questions.
I was evaluating ClusterFS and I had some doubts about how it scales. There are these file systems out there with millions and millions of files. I know they're not a good idea, but they exist. And I think the position of the files and the distribution to the bricks is recalculated each time. Does it scale?
I don't have so big installations, so it's very hard for me to tell it to you. Every time I use it, I have no problems with this, never. Up to this point.
Because that's the trick they are using to avoid to having one single database or whatever.
Yeah.
So that's how they stay completely independent. But they have to do the recalculation each time. And this was something that I felt uneasy about. Maybe somebody else knows. But
Which version do you use? Because they changed a lot for the file sharing between the sub-volumes from version 3.5 to 3.6.
That was end of last year, I was checking ClusterOrg, and then they still did it. They also admitted that point.
Okay. Any other question?
Does it support quotas?
Yes. Yeah. You can use the POSIX quotas, yes.
For users and groups, or?
Pardon?
For groups also?
For
groups?
For groups! Yes, also for groups, yes. User and group quotas are supported, yes. Okay. I think.
Can you say anything about how big the installations were, where you were using this? Like the number of files or anything?
The biggest installation I have so far was 200 users, 200 with 200 workstations, and they have all the rooming profiles. And even in the morning, when a lot of users connect to the rooming profiles, but no lack of performance. So.
Okay.
That's what I can tell, but I have no bigger installation. On the cluster page, they say you can have a big one, but I think it's commercial.
Okay. Okay. Well, if there aren't any other questions, no? Okay, then. Thank you, Stefan.
Okay.